John chapter 10, starting at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he have a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around and about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man maketh thyself God. Precious Lord, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Jesus is God in the flesh. He walked this earth. After being born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, died on a cross, not for anything he'd done, but for our sins. Then they took him off that cross, buried him, and on the third day, he rose. He rose with all power. And that's the God we serve. That's the God we love. That's the God we are counting on. That when our day comes, for the word of God says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We are counting on the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And when we stand before the Lord in judgment, he will say, he's covered by the blood, not just any blood, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, thank you for covering us. Thank you for dying for us, Father God, when we knew nothing about you. We ask that you be with us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. That's interesting. Interesting. Great, great debate. And I've seen that debate that I have often with folks in those scriptures. There was division among the people. Who was Jesus? Was he God, or was he a mere man? Some people say, well, he was a prophet or a good teacher. Some say he was a godly man. But if he wasn't God, he wasn't a good teacher. If he wasn't God, he definitely wasn't a prophet. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't God, he wasn't a godly man. Really, if Jesus wasn't God, you know what he was? A liar. If he wasn't God, he was disqualified for dying for our sins. If he wasn't God. Some people say, well, he was a great moral teacher. Well, if he wasn't God, he wasn't a great moral teacher, because no great moral teacher would lie about who he was. Amen. He was God. And to a lost world, he's either God or he's a madman. You only had the two choices. We're going to find out who he was. The first question I had to answer, and I started this lesson, who did Jesus claim he was? I mean, if you believe Jesus was God, then who does he claim? Who did he claim he was? Look at verse 30. Who does the Bible say he is? And that's our roadmap. I was talking to Mervin this morning, Sunday school. You need your Bible. Here's why. Because you don't want some slick talking preacher to tell you nothing that don't line up with Scripture. Okay. So in John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. Okay. On the surface, you might say, well, that's not real threatening. Wait a minute. To the Jews, when Jesus made that statement, he was claiming to be God. Okay? Mm-hmm. Why did they try to stone him? Because to the Jews, he was saying, I am God. And they were looking at him as a mere man claiming to be God. And they picked up the stones to stone him. How about that? Okay. Now, when he said, I and my Father are one, and they picked up the stones, Jesus didn't back down.
That's right.
He didn't back down. He didn't do like a lot of us would do. Now, I didn't really mean, you know, we see some stones. That's like they drew guns on him. Uh-huh. He didn't do like we would. I mean, listen, I didn't mean it like that. Uh-huh. Don't take offense to what I said. I was just making a statement. We can water it down. No, he didn't. He did not. He was truly claiming to be on equal terms with God. Man. In John 8:58, he's arguing with these Jews again. He's debating with these Jews again. And we're going to start at 56, John 8:56. But they were claiming that we have Abraham. We have Abraham. Okay? Abraham is our father. And the Jews love Abraham. They still do today. Abraham is probably the most popular name in the Jewish tradition. So in John 8:56, Jesus is talking to these Jews again. And again, he's claiming his deity. He's never going to back down. Now he's going into what we call in the study of God, the pre-existent God. Jesus is going to tell these Jews, and you guys know the story. He's going to tell them, before Abraham was, I am. Now watch. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. How about that? Mm-hmm. And was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? So I say, what you talking about? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly. Anytime you see verily, verily, Jesus said, this is a no doubter. Uh-huh. Okay? I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And what did the Jews do? They said, well, you know, tell us plainly who you are. Jesus is saying, I'm God. Okay? Then they took up stones to cast at him. Uh-huh. And Jesus did what? Again, he hid himself. Now, remember, the Jews love the Old Testament. They love Exodus. They love Moses, and they love all that. Remember the I am statement? Moses was going in to see Pharaoh. Remember, Moses had killed, an Egyptian soldier, buried him in the sand. He got ratted out, went into the wilderness for 40 years. Uh-huh. Okay? Now he's 80 years old. He ain't strong like he used to be. He ain't benching 350 no more. He ain't got the physical strength like he used to have. You know, some of y'all remember that. Some of us in here now, we struggle with tire shoes. You ever, anybody other than me, you know, you breathing hard? Columbus? I know. I be breathing hard. I tear my shoes. I used to have Deacon Oliver up here, and I used to say, you know, I watch him. He had them Velcro straps on his shoes. I ain't there yet. You know, I was in Walmart when I was down in Columbus. I had to go to Walmart to get something. I walked over in their suit sex. I seen them Velcro shoes. That's Moses. Moses is 80 years old now. He ain't the same man. He ain't full of fire. Okay? He ain't full of vinegar, you know. I just said vinegar. Margaret know what I'm talking about. Okay? And God said unto Moses, because Moses won't know, who should I say send me? And God said unto Moses, Exodus 3:14. Moses, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And we know Moses put some work in. Moses put some work in when he was in Egypt. You know what? And when Jesus said that I am, they knew exactly what he meant. And they picked up stones and they wanted to kill him. The Jews rejected Jesus, identifying as incarnate. You know what? When I say incarnate, meaning he was made flesh. The Bible says he was made flesh and what? Dwell among us. We're going to go there next. Now, I just want to clear this up before we delve into what Jesus meant and why it's so important to teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why is it so important? Pastor, why are you going to spend the next 6 months preaching about Jesus? Why is it so important? Let me tell you why. And, you know, and I like to talk with the scriptures. I ain't got that verbal. You know, I'm not that smooth-talking preacher that can get up here and just say stuff. And y'all, it ain't even true, but y'all, it sounds true. John 5. Turn to John 5. Turn to John 5, verse 24. Okay? Now I'm gonna go a little further. Verse 23. 5:23. Because I want y'all to have a ticket. Whether we want to even admit it or not, I know it's hard. Folks is dying without Christ. Okay. That's sad. That's painful. Now Jesus is talking to the people, and he's saying something that none of us can say. I cannot say this. I cannot say y'all should honor me. I know there are pastors out there that will tell their congregation, y'all need to honor me and respect me. I ain't got that coming. I'm a man like you. Remember when Paul was preaching and they said, he must be a God. And they bowed down to Paul. Paul said, get up. Get up. Man like me. Only one person can say that. And it's Jesus Christ. And hear what Jesus said in John 5:23. He's saying this, that all men should honor the Son. That's a command. He's making a command statement. He's saying that all men should honor the Son. That means all men should honor him. Even as they honor the Father. He said, how many of y'all know people today, they real quick to believe in God. Then you say, well, you know, did the God you believe in have a son named Jesus? Ah! At the name of Jesus. That throw him off. That throw them off anymore. There used to be a time where we proudly profess Jesus Christ. We live in a day now. You mentioned Jesus. Okay? The head basketball coach for South Carolina, going to the finals. I don't know if they play tonight or tomorrow, but they going to the finals. They lost last year to the team they playing this year. Mm-hmm. And she said, we learned a great lesson. Okay? She said, we learned a great lesson from last year. And she says, he made the comment, God has taught us a great lesson. And the reporters said, what do you mean? And they confronted her about her even mentioning God. And then she went further. And she said, you must be crazy if you don't believe in God. That's what she said. This is a sister, coach for the North South Carolina. She said, "You must be crazy if you don't believe in God." And they are running her, the same people who say, "You must be crazy if you don't believe that a man can marry a man. You must be crazy if you don't believe that a 8-year-old boy can transition to a girl. You must be crazy if you..." Now that's the real talk. We consider it crazy. If we don't accept the LGBT as legit, we crazy. Go on your job. Go to the training I just went through. I almost had to vomit in my mouth. In the class I was in, there was two women in there transitioning over to be men. And I didn't even know. Big old girl. I thought it was a dude. And somebody pointed me out. Just a chick. Had the boots on, shirt like Columbus, got on, walking around. She getting ready to whoop somebody. I thought it was a man. But what's my point? You know what the class teaching me? If you don't accept that, something wrong with you. Anybody else had that training? Sylvia had it on her job. Jake didn't had it. They run it down her throat. But this woman said, "If you don't believe in God, something wrong with you. You're crazy." And they got her, they running her through the water. Let me get back to my text. Y'all get me down the rabbit trails. Here's what Jesus said. "He that honored not the Son..." This is some good ammunition for those folks that believe in God but not Jesus. "Amen. He that honored not the Son, honored not the Father, which have sent him." How about that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Y'all see John 3:16 all through this text. Watch. I tell you all the time, John 3:16 just flows through the Bible. If you got a problem with John 3:16, you got a problem with the Bible. Okay, you can't believe the Bible without believing John 3:16. Watch verse 24. Here's the real heart of the text. Mm-hmm. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word..." Y'all want to sit here and tell me, "Pastor, all you do is preach the word." I've been places they say, "All you do is preach the word. All you and that, you and that Bible, that's all I know."
That's right. Amen.
Faith coming how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Okay? Okay? "Woe," Paul said, "woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Pastor, you want a full house, don't you? You want a full house? Folks don't want to hear that. Let me tell you why it's so important that the preachers preach the word. Okay? "He that heareth my word..." Now, Margaret knows that word "heareth" means. Don't mean just hearing. Hearing with understanding. So this is why maybe repetition. Pastor, you sound like a broken record. So? Okay, I'm in good company. "He that heareth my word and believeth..." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. "That whosoever..." What? "Believeth." Not believe. Believeth. Believeth meaning gonna die believing. Like the conversation me and Blanche had this morning. And she said, "As long as I am able..." Uh-huh. "I'm gonna be in this church on Sunday." How about that? So I'm feeling a little, I got a little, you know, my coughing all on everybody, you know. Then I say, "Well, Blanche gonna be there." Man, that's deep. Uh-huh. Blanche in church. Y'all know how long it took her to put on them stockings and stuff this morning? I ain't gonna tell all your business. But she here.
Amen.
Man, if Blanche can make it here, man, I ain't got no excuse. God will put somebody in your church just to front you out. Listen. "Verily I say unto you..." I love this verse. This one moving up the charts. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word..." Mm-hmm. "and believeth on him that sent me." So you can't believe without hearing. How do I know that? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh how? By hearing. You cannot believe without hearing. Ephesians 2:8. Okay. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Meaning you have heard the word. How? Because you cannot get faith without hearing.
Amen.
That makes sense? Amen. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, I tell you all the time, because this one preacher is preaching about why you should eat hot dogs. And nobody getting saved. And no one is getting saved when the preacher is talking about you ought to be prosperous. Okay? Seed offerings don't save nobody. Running around here speaking in tongues and stuff don't save nobody. Doing cartwheels and running. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's Jesus Christ's own words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. John 3:16. What does he get? Have everlasting life. How about that? Have everlasting life. That's deep. How do we get everlasting life? You got to hear the word and believe it. And you got everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation.
Amen.
But is passed from death unto life. Now listen. The two thieves was on the cross. And I hear people all the time, they tell me all the time, you know, I say, you need to get saved. You need to call out to Jesus to save you. And they say, well, you know, I got time. Remember the thief on the cross? I said, no, there's two thieves on the cross.
Amen.
Okay? One didn't get saved. One heard the word of God, but didn't believe it. I know he did. And here's what the other, remember what the other thief said to him? How can you sit here and condemn this man, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? Condemnation means we on our way to hell. And here we are on our way to hell, and we got the God in the flesh in between us. And we still struggling to believe. That's interesting. That's interesting. God is saying this. He's saying, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life. How about that? And shall not, just to make clear, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what was Jesus' comment? What was Jesus respond back to him? This day. Okay? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now watch, verse 25. I'm going to close out here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, those who died in Christ, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Ain't that interesting? What God is saying, if you don't hear the voice on this side, you're not going to hear it when the trumpet sound.
Amen.
When the dead in Christ shall what? Shall rise first. See, everybody going to hear the trumpet. Everybody gonna hear. Titus 2:11. Well, I'm already ahead of where I'm supposed to be on this sermon, but I'm okay. And I'm gonna let the Lord lead. Okay. Here's Paul. Y'all know I love Paul. Okay. After I see Jesus, then I wanna go right to Paul. I'm going right to Paul. I say, okay, I'm going to see Jesus, and then I want to see Paul. And y'all know who I want to see after I see Paul.
Sailors.
Okay, I want to see them sailors. All right, so here's Paul in Titus 2:11. What a fabulous verse. What a fabulous verse. Titus 2:11. Listen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. To all men. Mervin, that means women too. All men. That's generic. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, for by grace are you saved. The grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, entertaining us. No, that's not what it says. Feeling sorry for us. No, that's not what it says. Condemning us. No, that's not what it says. Here's what it says in verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? How's that possible? Soberly in that context doesn't mean not drinking. Y'all know I'm not advocating drinking, but soberly in that context means seriously. Be serious about the things of God. That we ought to deny ungodliness, okay? And worldly lust. And we should live soberly, righteously. Righteously in that context means we ought to live in a way that we right with God. And that's a personal thing. You ask yourself that. Am I right with God? Okay? Okay?
That's right.
We used to sing that song all the time. Here, get right, church. Uh-huh. And let's go home. That don't mean get right with the church. Get right with God. Get right with God. Because no man knows the day or the hour. Okay? This may be the last time you hear the gospel preached. This may be the last time that I preach. I don't know. Uh-huh. Sunday ain't guaranteed. Next Sunday ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
Okay? Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher, was preaching in Chicago. He was preaching in Chicago when the great Chicago fire came. And you know, Chicago, they called the Windy City. So when that fire came, this was back in the 1800s, and all them little houses were made like out of paper. And that wind whipped up and burned that whole city down. And many people that was at that service died. And Spurgeon survived. And he said, I will never hold back and tell people I'll see y'all next week. See you next week. See you next week. How many of us have lost someone? And the last time we saw him was the last time we saw him. How about that? I know Toya going through that right now. I remember working at the prison. I had a good, real good friend of mine, and he worked the gate. I stopped saying this. He worked the gate. So when you had to get out, he was the gatekeeper. So when you had to leave the prison, you had to call Officer Barr on the radio. So I say, Officer Barr, meet me at the rear gate. I'm going. And this was Friday. And I say, you know, Barr was a good dude. I say, Barr, I'll see you Monday. We had the weekends off. Then I got a call. Sunday at 3 o'clock, he had got killed on a motorcycle. Okay, and I stopped that. I stopped saying, "I see you next week, or see you tomorrow." You don't know that. God is saying, in His own words, He says, "We ought to be looking." Verse 13 of Titus 2. We ought to be looking for that blessed hope.
How about that?
We ought to be looking for that blessed hope. You know what they're saying? We ought to be prepared. We ought to be prepared to die. Yes. Nobody want to talk about that stuff no more. We getting to the point where we think we're going to live forever. We ought to be prepared to die. Paul is saying here, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for it. It's right around the corner. For some of us, it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. And don't y'all all be looking at Blanche because she's the oldest one in here. Because she done been to a whole lot of funerals with folk younger than her. She probably ain't been on funerals with anybody older than her. Have you? Not in a long time. Ain't that serious? Paul says, looking for that blessed hope. And watch. Watch this. Because I'm talking to believers. Paul's talking to believers. See, dying for the believer. Watch it. Looking for that blessed hope. Watch. This is interesting. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about that? When Paul talked about death and dying, he looked at it as something glorious. Am I talking to the right people? Am I talking to the right people? Dying should be a glorious day for the believer. Ain't that something? It don't sound right. It don't sound like in the world we live in today, because somebody died. Oh, they was way too young. Oh, dude, listen. Ain't nobody too young to die. Death is no respecter of persons. And really the problem with dying is not being ready. God is saying, looking for that blessed hope. And the hope that he's talking about is the hope of heaven. Who won't stay down here? Who won't stay down here? Especially with these phones every 5 minutes. You know, somebody walking down the street get hit by a car, knocked into a ditch. Postal man shot and killed. Shooting in Florida yesterday. 2 dead, 7 wounded. School shootings, mass shootings. This world is messed up. And when God calls us home as believers, oh, when the saints go marching in, what a day of rejoicing it will be. Don't sound like, don't even sound right, do it. We scared to death. We scared, so scared of dying. Oh, so sick. I might die. No, it ain't a might. You're going to die. The key is being ready and looking forward to that blessed hope. Watch the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul didn't mix word. Who was Jesus to Paul? He was God. He was a great God and he was Savior. How about that? And then Paul sum it up. I write all these scriptures down. I don't get half of this stuff I write down. And God is pouring into these verses. But watch what Paul says about Jesus. Remember, he calls him God. No, there ain't no mixing words. If Jesus ain't God, then you got the wrong God. Okay? Paul says he's God, a great God and our Savior. Now watch. Watch what Paul said God did. And we all should say the same thing. Who gave himself for us. That's deep. Who gave himself for us. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, gave himself for us. He died for us. Amen. He died for us. Watch. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. He might redeem us from all sin. Jesus died for our sins. And purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I can't say enough about the goodness of God. Watch, I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna get back to who God was. I jumped 2 pages in my notes. Stay with me. We're gonna be on Jesus for a long time. So hang in there. We're gonna learn a lot about Jesus. Amen. We're gonna learn a lot about Jesus, and we're gonna learn so much about Jesus. Somebody say, "Well, you know, Yeshua." I hear that all the time. Yeshua, Jesus was black. Jesus, listen. Let me tell you something. He wasn't white. He wasn't black. Okay. He probably looked more like Jake. I'm just being real. He wasn't black and he wasn't white, but he had that Palestinian color. Okay? I'm sorry, Jake. In the beginning was the Word. Y'all know that? This ain't rocket science. This is not hard. This is not hard to believe. People make it out to be harder than it is. Amen. Jesus was God. Watch. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Why people struggle with that verse? You don't need a doctorate degree in theology to understand John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word. Christ existed before creation began. He was present with God. He was divine. He was the Word. And all things were made through him. John 1:11. Fascinating. I hope it's fascinating to you guys. It is me. John 1:11. Watch. And he came into his own. The Word made flesh. He came into his own. The Jewish people. Okay. Paul said it in Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first, and then the Greek. The Greek means all non-Jews. That be us. Okay? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Or, Mervin, as daughters of God. Even to them that believe on his name. How do you become a son of God? You have to believe on his name. How do you believe? By hearing the word of God. Let me tell you something. You ain't believing. You ain't hearing. Okay? I couldn't sit here and give you Romans 10:17 all day and night. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch. Let's watch. Verse 13. This is. I got to go back. 12 one more time. Bear with me. I didn't miss something, but something just came to me. But as many as received him. How did we receive him? By faith. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, that's the point. He gave them power to become the sons of God. What's that mean? He gave them power to live a godly life. He gave them power to represent God, even when it's hard to represent God. It ain't easy to represent God. See, I don't want y'all to sit here and think it's easy to represent God. We live in a fallen world. Okay, and we got to go out here in this fallen world and represent God. We cannot do it on our own power. Even when we are empowered by God, it's still hard. Life is hard. It's hard. But God gives us the power to become the sons of God, meaning he gives us the power to live for him. So what do we have to do sometimes? Tap into it. Sometimes we got to tap into it. We know we under stress. We understand when we under duress. We're going through a trial. We're going through tribulation. We're going through a rough time in our life. And sometimes we take our eyes off God. I hear people say all the time, well, I've done everything I can eat, I can do. I'm going to pray. We got it all backwards. The formula is backwards. Pray first. And then base what you're going to do on your answer from God. Lord, if God don't answer me, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Somebody in that Word has the same issues you have. That's why he gives us the Word. Listen. Okay. I know I'm getting on my hobby horse. Which were born, Paul says, John said, which were born not of blood. Now this is interesting to me. Not of blood. We were born. We became the sons of God. We weren't born the sons of God.
Amen.
We were born who? We were born in sin. I don't want to say, well, we were born the sons of Satan, but we were born in sin. Okay? David said, I was conceived in sin. Okay? Y'all ain't got to look around. Next time you see a little kid, this one is a little older. What got to happen? There's a point in his life got to come where he going to say, you know, I must be born again. He got to be born again. Y'all said they're as sweet as them little babies is. Then look how sweet that baby is. Okay, keep watching it. Keep watching it. You're going to find out that baby was born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. All right? And watch as they throw that pudding on your walls they don't want to eat. Okay, that ain't godly. Which were born, here we go, not of blood. Family ain't, you know, you ain't saved because your family's saved. Okay. Cindy ain't saved because her husband a preacher. I hear people say, you know what? I grew up in the church. My husband was a preacher. My daddy was. My grandpa was a preacher. That don't mean jack. That don't mean jack. Okay? Your father, your grandfather might have been a preacher. He might have been a deacon. He might have been singing in a choir. He might have been filled with the Holy Ghost. But that don't mean nothing for you.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You know what the will of the flesh means? You know, you want your loved one saved so bad. You think you can will that person into saved? That uncle that got that drinking problem, or that cousin that like to steal and rob, and you want to pray, oh, I want to pray, save him, save him, save him. Listen, not by the flesh. Okay? Uh-huh. Not by the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I love that. But of God. No, cause no, why I love that? Because I say it all the time. A lot of people think you just join the church. Go to church for a while, pay your tithes, you saved, you're going to heaven. That ain't what this text is saying. Salvation. I'll steal from Paul Washer. Salvation is a supernatural act of God whereby a man or a woman becomes a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What has happened to this man or this woman? What has happened to him? Something supernatural. God has supernaturally came into this person's life, gave them the power to believe and transform that person. That's salvation. Salvation ain't me after I get done with the church service, put some chairs down here, and you come sit in the miracle chairs, and you know, and then we give you the right hand of fellowship, and you're on your way to heaven. That's ain't that how we used to do it? That sound right? Like you sit in them chairs and something happened. Well, them miracle chairs, you're going to get the Holy Ghost when you sit in them chairs. Let me tell you something. If it ain't happen before you sit in them chairs, it ain't going to happen when you sit in them chairs.
Amen.
Okay, salvation. It's supernatural. You know, when you're praying for your loved one, you pray for your loved one, you want them to see them saved, you say, Lord, do something supernatural in their life.
Amen.
That's it. Show them your grace, show them your mercy, show them your love, you know, because you can't save them. I know we want to. I hear folks say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 5 years old. Let me tell you something. It's still the same formula. Okay, you give your life to the Lord at 5 years old. Well, something supernatural had to happen at five, and you just I decided to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Not if He didn't call you. Well, here's Thomas. I'm gonna close. Here's Thomas. True faith. Call this one true faith. Here's Thomas. Y'all know the story. Disciples, Jesus had been resurrected. He came and seen his disciples. I'm in John 20. And Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. Y'all know the story. Thomas wasn't there. And the other disciples, I don't know if they were practical jokers like me or something. And they would have said, Thomas, Jesus was here and you missed him. And whatever reason, Thomas had a hard time believing the testimony of the other, at this time it would have been 10 disciples because Judas was gone. Okay? And Thomas said, unless I put my hands in his holes, in his hands and in his side, I will not believe. Now, because God is omniscient in the person of Jesus Christ, he knew exactly what Thomas said. And he showed up. The Bible says in John 20:16, 8 days again, he showed up 8 days later, and his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Well, okay. That means he walked through the walls, huh? And stood in the midst. He stood in the midst of all 11 disciples and said, peace be unto you. Okay. And they all recognized his voice. How do I know? Because my sheep. Bible said, hear my voice and know me. They knew it was Jesus. And he came there. Now, if you don't pay attention, you see the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus for Thomas. Thomas got the name Doubting Thomas. Okay. And he came in there and said, peace be unto you. But then he said to Thomas in verse 27, then say he to Thomas. You want a personal relationship? He got personal with Thomas. He said, Thomas, I heard what you said. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas didn't do none of that. Thomas didn't do none of that. Okay? Here's what Thomas said. Now remember the text. Jesus is God. All right? Here's what Thomas said after Jesus called him and came to see him personally. And Jesus told him to thrust into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And here's Thomas' response, and it will be ours too. Don't none of y'all in here think that you would be big and bad enough to stick your hand in Jesus' side. None of us would have done it. Here's what Thomas said. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Was Jesus God? He was the Thomas.
Amen.
He was the Thomas. And Jesus, and the rest of this verse, and I'm going to close with this verse. The rest of this verse is for us. We weren't there. But God is saying that we have to have the same faith as Thomas. And Jesus said unto him, after Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, man, you know, I've been hanging around y'all too much, especially this morning. Y'all was all over the place this morning in Sunday school, but that's fine. But I think Jesus might have had a different name for Thomas. He might have called him Tommy or something, you know. But here, you never got corrected by your parents and they give you your full name? I ain't going to tell y'all what my nickname is, but... But when I was out of sorts, I didn't get called by my nickname. I got called by my government name. That way I knew I was in trouble. Okay? I wasn't Kip. I was Keith. That knew I was in trouble. He said, Thomas. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Okay? See, that's how we are today. That's why so many miracle preachers out here. So many fake miracle preachers. Listen. If there were some miracle preachers out here, Lisa wouldn't be in here with a cane.
Amen.
I put everybody on blast, so welcome to the club. She walked in here with a cane. Y'all remember we went over to the church for Reverend Jones' funeral? Folks was coming in there with walkers, and they was coming in there with walkers, and they was old, and they was sick. And the preacher said, the power of God to heal is in this place. And then when the funeral was over, you know what happened? Them same folks, they didn't carry their walker like the man at the pool of Bethesda. No, they walked in there. They walked out of there the same way they walked in. What's my point? Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Then he says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. How about that? Somebody was talking about that this morning in Sunday school. Folks always running around here. Blessed, highly favored, too blessed to be stressed. Listen. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. How's your faith? How's your faith today? We going through. Life is hard. Life is hard. And then when you get over 50, somebody told me this morning it's 52. When you get over 50, life get harder. Somebody say life like a roll of toilet paper. Start off slow. I heard somebody say, it's already April. Sooner or later, it would be December. Again. Boy, life flying, ain't it?
Amen.
We used to have a song back in the day. I always say, you know, when we came up, we could listen to some of the music because it didn't contaminate us. Okay? It didn't listen to the OJs and the Spinners, and it didn't contaminate us like the music did today. So somebody was saying, people get ready. This train is coming. Okay? We thought about God. The message is the same.
Amen.
We got to get ready.
Got it.
The Bible said today, if you hear my voice, not my voice. I pray that when I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would hear the voice of God. I think that should be the goal of every preacher, that they preach in such a way that they say, that message didn't come from a man, that came from God. And I hope that happens when we go through the messages that we preach here. People get ready. The train is coming. Precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you this morning. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We really believe that when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, we believe that. We ain't picking up no stones. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified on Calvary's cross, and was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose on the third day with all power, and showed himself to the disciples and the 500 other witnesses. And then the Bible said later that he ascended back into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.